It is 23 minutes after the hour now, and it being Tuesday, it being Dr. Don Clark joins us. Actually, whom being? Would you? Whom is the objective case? That must be the right way to put it, huh? I suppose. I think that's
whom?
The case. Yeah, whom?
It.
Yeah.
It being Tuesday.
Dr. Don is a biochemist and a member of the Board of Creation Moments, also runs a great branch down there in Garden Valley, Texas. It's Valle della Pace, Valley of Peace. And we talk wine now and then, grapes now and then with Dr. Don. But today we've got like a bigger topic in mind, like think really big, like universal big. And a couple of stories kind of fit into the theme today. We want to talk about just how fine-tuned that universe is. But Don, Stephen Hawking just passed away, and a great mind. I read a couple of his books. I can't say I understand them completely, but it always struck me about Stephen Hawking that he's just missing the truth by that much.
Well, unfortunately, that was indeed the case. And of course, we can talk a little bit more about him after we talk about the fine-tuned universe. But, you know, sometimes brilliant minds don't come to the conclusion that, hey, there is a God out there, and there is a God that loves me more than anything in this world. And yes, maybe I am accountable to him. So he never, a matter of fact, as he got older, he got hardened against God and was an outspoken atheist on that particular
you
subject.
You have to wonder, though, if maybe his physical challenges led to that, do you suppose? I mean, it couldn't have been without effect.
Oh, perhaps, yes, perhaps. Perhaps his arrogance with regard to understanding or thinking that he understands the universe led to it. It could have also have been, his wife was a Christian, by the way, and she was with him, you know, obviously from the very beginning, and she stuck with him for quite a number of years, and then finally, after about 30 years, she divorced him, and she says in her autobiography that his personality changed. He was not the man that she married 30 years earlier, and he became apparently more bitter. Was not the person that was personified through, you know, his writings and through his public image, but apparently maybe he was quite a bitter man there at the end, and his discussion on God, saying that there is you know, no God, was probably taking hold and hardening his heart even more, which is quite interesting, because you take a person like, and of course he had Lou Gehrig's disease, so he slowly lost movement, but fortunately there was technology that the doctors, when he was first diagnosed, only gave him 2 years to live. But he, through technology, obviously remained very, very active, and his mind was obviously very, very active there until the end. And when he could only move like a cheek muscle, there was technology available for him to still communicate. Which hadn't been done before, you know, he, you know, got this particular disease.
And somehow to produce books, too, to communicate what was in his mind. I mean, that's amazing technology. Think what it would have been for him had that not been available.
I mean, exactly. He would have been, you know, he would have been locked up forever in the shell of his body, not being able to move and things like that. And then, you know, you think of a person like that, and I'm sure, you know, he had to be asking himself the question, if there was a loving God, the loving God certainly wouldn't do this to him. And then you take someone like Erickson Tata, and she got over, I mean, of course, you know, she got her, it was an injury, neck injury that paralyzed her.
Johnny Erickson Tata, sure. Yeah.
Johnny Erickson Tata from the, you know, from the neck down. Mm-hmm. And so she, and she obviously is stuck in a wheelchair pretty much all of her adult life. And she was bitter at first, but through the loving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, she was able to overcome that bitterness and become a great advocate, you know, for the Lord, and do some mighty things that she probably wouldn't have done had she, you know, stayed in a whole state, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have you know two different people with debilitating conditions that made them pretty much not necessarily a vegetable, although Hawkins was more so than Johnny Erickson, coming to different conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to the realization that, hey, I can either, you know, and I don't know what Hawkins, other than his writings on not believing in God, and there's definitely no God, and Johnny coming to the conclusion, not only is there a God, but he's a merciful God, and yes, I have this condition, but I'm going to make the most of it.
Well, Hawking was a parent of the degradation of the universe, a tendency toward chaos, and I think a lot of us can see that pattern and kind of assent to that. Yeah, things are changing rapidly and maybe tending toward chaos, but the difference between us is we know there's a plan in all this, and we know the cause and we know how it ends. And Stephen Hawking, as brilliant as he was, just couldn't think out of the box to that degree.
Well, and it was as if his mind was blinded, honestly, mm-hmm. as all of our minds are blinded until the Holy Spirit, somebody prays for us or a whole group of people pray for us and allows the Holy Spirit to work within us. And then finally we say, okay, Lord, I give my life over to you. I'm sure his wife was praying for him, but his heart was so hardened. Maybe because of his condition, maybe because of his brilliance, he thought he could figure everything out. And he was looking, as a lot of physicists in his realm, was looking for the grand unified field theory, which was going to unite everything. And once we figured it out, we would have figured out the universe and then figured out everything in life. Interesting, that's never been completely figured out yet,
mm-hmm,
and I suspect that it never will, at least on this side of heaven.
Interesting comparison with Albert Einstein. Dr. Don forwarded us a link, by the way, which is now in the chat window at Broken Road Radio, if you'd like to take a look at this article. But it talks about some parallels between Einstein and Hawking.
Yes, it does, and of course, you know, we know that Einstein, for example, did believe in God, and I think it was part of his. He had this ongoing argument with Niels Bohr,
mm-hmm.
And Niels Bohr, of course, was coming up with his theory of quantum mechanics, which basically said that, oh, we got this randomness, and we can't figure out exactly where the electron is, for example, or at any given time, or if we know where it is, then we can't figure out what its speed is. And you know, Einstein would write back to Niels Bohr and says, because Niels Bohr's theory was a statistical model of the atom, for example, and Einstein writes back. He says, God doesn't play with dice.
And, yeah. Of course, Niels Bohr, one of the scientists instrumental in developing the atomic bomb during World War II. But his history with Einstein goes back farther than that. So interesting parallels. And the article says that Stephen Hawking died on the same year, day and month that Einstein was born. in 1879. It says both men died shortly after their 76th birthdays. And it says these facts wouldn't be remarkable if their work and writings were not so intimately related. I figure Stephen Hawking had to have thoroughly read Einstein.
Oh, and not only did he thoroughly read it, he understood Einstein's work, and he continued in theories. Of course, Einstein's known for his special and general relativity theories, and those then became the basis of Hawking's work into the universe. So he went beyond what Einstein did and built on that. So that's where the interesting link is. Not only is there a birthday or a death link, but there is this link of the work. So yes, Hawking was very, very not only understood Einstein's work, but carried it forward.
Well, you mentioned the word universe, and that's a term that's hard to get our mind around. It's a thing. It's a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. And I guess the universe qualifies as thing, maybe as place. But if something is infinite, then the word place becomes kind of irrelevant. I mean, it is the place. But there's certain characteristics about the universe that we've been able to discern through science and combining that really with what we know of God. And it suggests that the universe is not haphazard. Not chaotic, as perhaps Stephen Hawking would suggest.
Well, not chaotic at all. As a matter of fact, here's just some facts about the universe. I mean, if in the universe, I like to call the universe the realm in which we live. When you read the Bible, you learn of different realms. For example, there's a realm in which we live, which we call the first heaven, if you will. There's the realm in which God lives, and that's the third heaven, as John and Paul, kind of describes. Paul not knowing whether or not he was here or he was caught up into the third heaven. Mm-hmm. And so, and of course, you have, if there's a first and a third, then by reference, there's got to be a second, which must be the realm in which the fallen angels and Satan kind of live.
You know, and of course, when we think of those as places, as a space someplace, but it's also kind of a niche in I guess Einstein calls it the space-time continuum. It's not necessarily physical place or even physical time. It's just like a different state, not like California.
Yes.
Well, maybe a little like California, but
no. And I would refer to them as different dimensions. For example,
there you go. Yeah,
yeah. The physical space is the space that we live in, because we are part of us, a third of us, if you will.
Width, depth, and height. Yes, three dimensions.
Of which Einstein figured out that time was a part of it. So, therefore, if you live outside of our space-time domain, then you're outside of time. And, of course,
that is not subject to time.
Exactly. So that's... anyway, we're getting way off.
Well, but not really way off, because I was praying this morning, and I was... there's this thought in the back of my mind that always... suggest to me that whatever I'm asking, whatever I'm praying, is not worth God's time. It's kind of like, God, I'll keep this short because I know you have more important things to do. And then the thought occurred to me that time is totally irrelevant.
Oh, yes, exactly. So that's why, Jesus, for example, can be called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning from the end, because he, before he became man, was outside of time. And so he could know the beginning from the end. And so with God, there is no time, and he has time, if you will, for each and every one of us. Interestingly enough, in as minute a detail as we wish to converse with him. So you could have long prayers or short prayers. To him, it doesn't matter. He's already got the concept even before you even speak or think, you know. So it's okay.
Yeah, I kind of picture him saying, yeah, I know. I've heard it before. I've got that. The universe, have learned a lot about it through science. Is it a fragile place?
Oh, I don't think it's a fragile place at all. I mean, it is finely tuned. It is exquisitely finely tuned. For example, the strong nuclear forces, if they were slightly more powerful, then there'd be no hydrogen, for example. And hydrogen, of course, is essential for life because it makes up water, which is a great part of this planet, and we're 90%+ water. So if the strong nuclear forces were out of balance, then we'd have all kinds of problems. If the weak nuclear forces, for example, were slightly different, then we'd either wouldn't have enough hydrogen, I mean helium, to generate heavy elements in stars, or stars would burn out too quickly. If the electromagnetic forces were slightly stronger or weaker, then the atomic bonds, and thus we couldn't form complex molecules, for example. And if the gravitational constant wasn't what it is, slightly weaker or stronger, then things would either burn up too slowly or burn up not fast enough. And I'm talking about stars, that mm-hmm. is. And so we wouldn't have the sun that we have today. And these things are tuned. Just to give you an example, these things are tuned to such a degree that we're talking about, for example, the gravitational constant. If it was off by more than one part in 10 to the 34th power, things wouldn't be as they are today.
Scientific term is smidge, just a smidge.
Just a very, very tiny smidge,
yeah.
or the electromagnetic forces, would one part in 10 to the 37th. And these are things that we can calculate using the type of equations that Hawking and others have come up with, for example, to say that, oh, gee, if these things just weren't like this, then we'd have problems. Or the cosmological force constant, for example. One part in 10 to the 120th power. A mass density of the universe, one part in 10 to the 59th. Or the expansion rate of the universe, one part in 10 to the 55th. Initial entropy, that is, entropy is a measure of chaos. You mentioned chaos earlier. Hmm. If that was off by one part in 10 to the 10th to the 123rd power.
Wow.
I mean, that's an unbelievable large number, or in this case, small number. So if that was off just by, I mean, not only a smidgen, but a smidgen of a smidgen of a smidgen of a smidgen.
Yeah,
of a smidgen.
it's incredible. Should we take comfort in that? I mean, because one voice says, well, it's so fragile. If we can do something to break it, it would be so easy for us to go wrong and destroy the whole thing. On the other hand, what it speaks to is design. That is, it was purposely made this way. And the next question is, for whose benefit? Or by whom?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that you have to go to our history book called The Bible to find out mm-hmm. whose benefit. And, of course, it was the benefit of man. The whole universe built and intricately designed just for, one of God's creatures. This creature, which he said, in Genesis chapter 1, that we are made in his image, and after the image of God, we are made male and female. We are made. So all of that, all of this, beautifully designed universe, was made for us for our and you know initially enjoyment and got and in you know Genesis it says that it's everything was perfect after he created man. The man was his last creation here on earth, and after he created, he said it is very good. Well, the word for very good there is perfect. It was perfect. And of course, the thing that made it not perfect was man's sin, and that of course led to you know some catastrophes down the road, which we call the global flood. But initially, it was perfect, and we were designed actually in this universe, and the place that we were placed, the garden east of Eden, was such a perfect place. And it had a tree in it called the Tree of Life that gave us sustenance such that we would have lived forever in our mortal bodies, which is kind of a contradiction because if we would, they wouldn't be mortal at that point.
Yeah. And the thing is even bigger that because we see it as a moral failing, the fall of man and the introduction of sin, but the introduction of sin did more than create evil and wickedness. It degraded everything, including the universe, the elements, the sun, the moon, the stars, all victims of sin. Is that not right?
Well, it is right. And so the universe starts falling apart. Well, it's not falling apart very fast, but it is falling apart. And of course, you know, again, Scripture says that the whole universe, if you will, the whole earth groans for the redemption. We will see that as we get closer to the end, and when God says enough is enough, there has been, I have a number of people, for example, that are going to come into the kingdom, and when that number is fulfilled, then the end shall come, basically. And when there's enough evil on the earth, for example, and then, then the end shall come. So these things are working together to culminate the end of the, not necessarily the universe as we know it, because we know that there's going to be another 1,000 years after Jesus returns, but will culminate in Jesus returning and returning peace back on back to the earth, where there is just literally unbelievable chaos caused by man, for example, of course, directed by Satan himself.
And perhaps that's exactly what Stephen Hawking was observing. That is the slide toward ultimate destruction and change. He simply analyzed it improperly. He was missing a certain ingredient, that ingredient that apparently Albert Einstein was aware of, and that would be faith.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Don, yes, Don Clark is a biochemist and member of the Board of Creation Moments. I want to mention to you their website, creationmoments.com. And Creation Moments really exists to promulgate, to disperse, to dispense, to draw attention to the scientific evidence that shouts creation and creator so loudly, the biblical story of creation. And Don, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Did you have another thought there?
Oh, the other thought was just that if Hawking had given his life to the Lord, for example, what more he could have done? I mean, what he could have explored once he had the discipline of God and the understanding of God, he could have perhaps unveiled some things that God wanted to unveil to us, but are now hidden because of his hardness of heart.
And I can't help but wonder if in his last seconds there wasn't an event where he caused him to say, that's it. That's it. I hope so. Don, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a terrific week. Dr. Don Clark of Creation Moments. Once again, their website, creationmoments.com. You can link to it from Broken Road Radio's website. Don, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
All righty. So long.